This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Yeah, and then I did a radio show. You've tuned in to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show. Full service, by the way, here on Long Island. Where else? With your hosts, Ray Guarino and Mr. Chris Switzer over there boogieing down in his basement.
Yeah. You play are, that funky music, white boy.
And the Kiana shirt and those Sansibelt slacks with the white shoes are looking fabulous.
That's right. I have my orthopedic socks on. I have my high heel sneakers on. I'm ready to dance night away.
Rock and roll, brother. Yes, we are funking ourselves into another episode of Motormouth Radio. And I got to tell you, Chris, I just rolled in from a great event. And boy, are my wheels tired. Another Cars and Coffee. This was a great second event over at Celebrity Chase Collision at Oceanside, 476 Merrick Road. Still going on. You can go down there and see the cars and the stars. Actually, you can go see where your car is the star.
I heard they left your driveway. All of them were in your driveway. They all left, and they went right over to CarStar.
Some of them, yeah. Well, Kilowatt Kevin did come down with me. He met me at the house. So it was a day of duos, or it was couples day, if you will, at the show.
Ooh.
Because we had two GTOs, we had two dune buggies, and we had two C3 Corvettes.
Wow, a lot of hand-holding. Very nice.
Kind of all unplanned. And the only two that weren't parked together were the Corvettes. Otherwise, it would have been a great picture.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I took a few snaps. But yeah, so that was cool. There's still going on. You can go down there, like I said, 476 Merrick Road, Oceanside, right across from the 7-Eleven. So when you get your bag of ice or your chips or your cup of coffee, go across the street, say hi to Mike and the boys. And
tell them you heard it right here on Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, well, the show is playing. They have it on at the shop. In fact, earlier, I was in the shop with one of our friends, Rick, and a song came on that Rob, he goes, "What is that?" He's pointing. "What is that?" I'm like, "That's the speaker." So he says, no, the song. I said, "Oh, it was a Santana cover." I said, "Well, that's Rob. Rob Lennon's doing the show right now. He does the free-for-all. So he's always playing some cool covers and different things." And, "Yeah, but who's doing the song?" I'm like, "You know, I don't know, but I'll find out." And when I came in and asked Rob, he says, "I can't tell you that information, Ray. It's classified." But I found out it was Fleetwood Mac, the original Fleetwood Mac. So thanks, Rob.
Right, yeah, because the original Fleetwood Mac is not the Fleetwood Mac that we know.
No,
right?
Peter Green and the crew, yes. Very, very. Actually, I had a friend lend me a CD once that was, and I didn't know what it was, Fleetwood Mac's first album, and it was very bluesy. It was really, really cool. It was not like, rumors.
Right.
Yeah, not at all. Good
wasn't
stuff.
Wasn't as poppy as it was in the 70s, that's for sure.
Right.
So speaking of the 70s, Ray.
Yeah.
Ray. I've come to realize that I'm officially old.
Uh-huh. Okay, what was it now?
You know what I had to do? And I used to make fun of people who used to do this, too. So this is, this is nature's way of going booga, booga, booga.
Uh-huh.
Here's what I had to do. I had to find the timing mark on the Chrysler V8
Right.
And put a paint scribe on it.
Okay.
A silver. Well, I used a silver Sharpie marker.
We used to use chalk back in the day, regular.
Yeah. And the reason why is I can't see the freaking mark. I can't see it.
Okay.
I got two pairs of glasses on. I got the timing light in there. I got another light in there. I'm like, just go paint this thing. Well, so that's what I did.
Was it all greasy?
No, it was clean.
Really?
No, it was all clean. I mean, a little coating of rust. But right. What else? Everything I own has got a coating of rust on it. So,
I
yeah.
see on your
so
head, too, if you get your forehead, clean that off. It's a little rust, I think.
It is a little rusty. That's a little rust bust on there, a little extender.
Right.
Anyway, I'm laughing because I'm like, I'm officially old. I'm standing there in the middle of the driveway, pointing my timing light in the air and firing it off.
You're like a Mexican.
I am.
With a laser. Yeah, you're like Star Wars Mexican.
Pew, no pew, badges. Pew. Don't need any badges.
We don't need no stinking badges.
I was chuckling. I'm like, oh, it's like every day.
Wow.
You're always reminded of your age. I'm like,
Yeah. More so now than ever.
I'm sure yours is painted.
No, I'm in the practice of using a timing tape on my dampener.
Timing tape on your dampener?
Which,
wow.
You know, it looks like what your mom had when she had like a tape measure to measure like around your waist. It's, you know, it's a cloth tape measure that you can wrap around something. So people who sewed would use that. So this is the same thing, but it's marked in degrees on a 360 degree rotation of the dampener. So you can actually dial in to the degree what your timing will be. But now, believe it or not, the dampener I have on my car, which is an aftermarket one, came with that already etched into the dampener. We opted for the one that came, you know, made with it. And it makes setting the timing so much easier.
Slick and exotic.
Well, and you know what? Macklemore Brian says, you're already old because you have a timing light. And I know, I have like
he's right.
two or three.
He's right.
I know, he's right. That's right. And know how to use it. That's the real thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can, you know, I could whip out my timing light and get it going in no time at all.
Right. What type of light do you have, by the way? Is it an inductive?
It's a pretty red one.
Well, is it an inductive clamp, or do you have to pull the sparkler wire off and put it on that stupid spring?
It's an inductive clamp. Ooh, I can't remember. I've only had it for 30 years, and I can't remember the...
You came up into the 80s. Maybe Sun Pro or a Actron or...
Could have been. I'm just trying to think. It's funny, because I have two of them. One of them is that old chrome type.
Yeah.
But it was purchased by my father, so it could be any sort of cheap type of time. It could be, you know, Kmart brand. It could be any sort of, I don't know, Chinese knockoff type of
thing.
Yeah,
it was probably like those, like the Actrons or the the other one I said, whatever the hell it was. Yeah, there was a lot of cheap ones, but yeah, okay.
The red one is like a Power Blast or some other type of knockoff. I don't even know. But all I know, yeah, it is the inductive. I've never worked with the one, like you say, that you have to interrupt the plug in the wire.
Oh,
I've never used
that's
those.
The old one. Yeah, it was my original. Now, there's something else now, too, which is pretty cool. You probably don't have one of these. It's called a rollback or a dial back light. I have two of those where, you know, when you say you shine the light, you point the light at the dampener and the timing mark, and you look at where, like, you have the amount of degrees. So you look for how many degrees above zero or top dead center the car is at. That would be advanced, and below that would be before top dead center or retarded.
Sure.
And you turn the distributor to make that mark line up where you want. Well, the dial back gauge is easier. Let's say you want to set it at 8 degrees. You set the dial at 8. Now, the new one I have is actual digital, so you push the button until it reads 8. And now when you shine the light at the mark, you want 0 to line up with it'll line up with that nut. It'll just line up on 0. And the gauge tells you what the... So now as you increase the button on or the dial on the timing light, you'll see the mark change. And that's how you set it. So it's just another way, another convenience for mechanics. So it's nice. But yeah, it's
interesting.
It's good
that
you still have it and use it. That's excellent. That's good.
So I think I told you a couple of weeks ago that working on the engine was so hot, and I just wanted to time it so it sounded good because it was running a little sluggish. And this was last week before. And what I did was I like touching the distributor, the loose distributor with my index finger, like pushing on the vacuum advance, like just pushing on a little bit just to get the car to run better.
Right.
And I was just turning it back and forth and just timing it by ear until I got it to its optimum sounding performance.
Right.
So, and then when I checked it with the gun, that's the reason this week I checked it with the gun. I was around literally between five and 10, what?
Degrees?
Before, top to center.
Right.
So okay. I was in the ballpark.
Okay.
So it wasn't so bad.
Okay. Good, good. Yeah, it's all a matter of people get really hung up on stuff like that, and what's the time supposed to be? I always let the car tell me where it wants to be.
Yeah.
And for a while, I was running my car at like 48 degrees advanced.
And, you know, why?
This is going back a few years because that's where it wanted to be. And Joe was looking at it with me, and he says, you know, I had a Chevelle that did that once. But, I mean, I'm telling you, the car would start right up. It ran beautiful. The response was snap. Right there. There was no pre-ignition when you shut it off. The thing did everything it should do. It just wanted a ton of advance. And my car
the piston was halfway down the cylinder chamber before the spark plug went off.
It was really leading it. Yeah, but you know what? No detonation, no knock. The plugs were good. It just, and there are engines that like a lot of advance. It's kind of a, I was looking into it to see if I could find more information, and I found very little. But again, it was like the old thing the hot rods used to do is say, you keep advancing the timing until the engine talks to you, meaning until you get detonation. You hear like a ping, and then you back it down. I never got detonation out of this thing.
Wow.
So maybe that's how bad the gas is. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, that's good.
Yeah, and I had a laugh because another strike on my youth. I pull the plugs on it just to clean them, clean them and regap them, put them back in again. And the back plug on the driver's side, I couldn't get the silly thing back in there.
Really?
Oh. Took it out, no problem, because the steering box is, or the steering column is right there. And I just, for some reason, I couldn't fish it back in. I found myself lying on top of the driver's fender, feet out, like in the breaststroke position, and I'm in there trying to feed this thing, and I'm thinking to myself, did I have this problem about 6 months ago, a year ago, when I pulled the plugs out of this thing? Did I have this problem? No. Didn't have this problem at all.
Superman.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
Yeah, I know.
So of course, you know, the wife comes in, beeps the horn a couple of times, annoys me.
Right. So, if you want to beep our horn, 516-572-7440. I want to tell you a story. Now, what would you do if you went food shopping with your wife or somebody else, your mom, your neighbor, whoever it was, and you were coming home on a 95-degree high humidity day like we've been having this past week? Thank God it finally broke now. It's beautiful out. And you had a car full of groceries, which, of course, included 2 half gallons of ice cream and other frozen stuff. And then you noticed, like, wow, the AC kind of dropped out. Why did it get a little warm in the car? And like, well, I remember that happened about a week ago in the same car. This is in the cruise we were driving. And it came back. And I said, and I was thinking, wow, you know, my thought was, did something break loose in the system and just clog the orifice for a second? You know, maybe the condenser is falling apart. They do that. They come apart from the inside.
So basically you're saying the air conditioner was working, it was blowing cold, and then it blew warm and then cold again?
Yeah, well, that's what it did about a week ago. Now, this time, it didn't get cold again. And it was funny because
those problems don't fix themselves.
All these things kind of happened at the same time. You notice there's a lot of smells in traffic these days. Everybody's smoking something in their cars. Let's face it. It's everywhere. So at that time, I guess traffic went by and, you know, my wife looked at me and says, oh my God, there's somebody smoking. I'm like, yeah, it's that like burnt rubber smell, which I've smelled. I don't know what the heck, where they're getting this stuff from. And I don't know why you would ever want to, smoke this stuff.
Inhale it.
It's like, I'll have the burnt rubber incense, please. No. I only want to smell burnt rubber when it's coming from off a tire, you know, on an asphalt or concrete. Because it actually makes me sick. The smell isn't good for me unless it's drag racing, you know.
Right.
So anyway, we smelled that, commented on it. Then the AC dropped out. And then I looked and said, why is the battery light on?
Oh, I see where this is going.
So I said, okay, you know what? Shut the AC off, windows down, 95 degree of weather, come on in. And now we're driving. Well, the car's electric power steering, so I didn't lose that. Everything else was fine. But now as I'm stopping at lights, I'm getting engine overheating, idly engine. That's what Chevy does with their Ecotec. It's a thing. I'm like, okay, you know, I've been always fighting cooling system problems, but Now, you know, my goal now is, you know what my goal is now.
Get find home. A serpentine belt.
No, get yes. home, right?
Get home.
So I do stop, and I'm miles, we're miles from home. We use a supermarket that's about 4 miles away. I stop in a train station parking lot, get out, open the hood, and there it is, the serpentine belt laying, you know, just, it came off in one piece, but shred. I'm like, okay, now what? So now it's like getting through traffic. I took a couple of late lights, and I actually ran one solid red.
Oh,
I really took a solid rip. I said, this car is getting home. Because, you know, my daughter's home working. She works from home. Like, what am I going to do? Have her take the FJ and come get me like this?
Yeah.
No, you know, you're going to call an Uber. My ice cream's going to melt. This car is. So, and of course, the plan was to get home and then turn around. I had to go over to the shop to work on the Mustang that was back again for seatbelt stuff. So now.
So the mechanic is having car problems.
Yeah. And now I got a car that's down in the family. And I said, well, you know what? This car isn't getting fixed now because it's about 3,000 degrees under that hood and the driveway is in the sun. I said, so the hood will be open. When I get to the shop, I'll order the belt, have it delivered there, and I'll do it when I get home that night.
I'm just thinking how it overheated, or if it overheated.
It didn't. It didn't. Luckily, because the cooling fans came on. The electric cooling fan came on.
Man, oh, man. That would have had me on pins and needles right there.
I was this close to betting I was going to squirt a head gasket out.
I was, yeah, that's where I was going with it.
First of all, those motors are kind of known for it at times, and now with no water pump, I figured, yeah, that'll do it. But no, you know what? Now we're using the car, it's fine. But I'll tell you something. This was my bad luck. It's always, you know, shoemaker shoes. I've done serpentine belts, Chris, in 10 minutes.
Oh, I believe it.
I mean, literally, open the hood, get the tensioner, pull it, take the belt off, let the tensioner down, get the new belt, lace it on, except the last one. Usually I do the alternator last, pull the tensioner, loop it on, let go, done. You know, in 10 minutes, the toolbox is even, you're cleaned up and you're done.
So tell me, did the front wheel have to come off and the inside wheel well?
Okay. They recommended that it did, and I did do that. I was trying to do it without doing that. It took me an hour and a half to do this job.
I believe it.
Because now I gotta jack the car up. Those cars are not easy to jack up. Those cars need to be in a lift. Then this is after a day of working in the shop at 95 degrees. I came home like I'm literally just falling in the pool to cool off. No, now I'm working on the car. Right, got to do it.
Right.
The jack. You got to lift the motor because you got to loosen the upper motor mount because then you have to drop the motor because the belt comes through the two halves of the upper motor mount. But like you said, wheel come off, take the inner fender liner out, which really did help to get in there.
And you had to pull that mama Luke of a motor mount off.
No.
Because the belt slips through it?
There's actually, the motor mount is in two pieces on that car. One piece is mounted to the engine, the other piece is mounted to the body. And there's three bolts, three big, you know, big bolts. So you have to put a jack with a block of wood under the oil pan, lift the motor, just, you know, take the tension off the motor. Now you can take the bolts out because now the jack is holding the engine up. And
then
you lower the jack, and as you lower it, the motor mount separates because you took the bolts out and the belt comes. But the problem was the tensioner was kind of right under that mount on top of the water pump, and you got to get the belt on top of it. And that was the hardest part of the job. I literally used a screwdriver to jam it. What a pain in the neck. This, like I said, only on your own vehicle could that happen, right?
That's how you know you're doing the job correctly.
Oh, my God.
When it gives you a fight every step of the way, you know you're doing fine.
Oh, yeah.
If you got that serpentine belt on in 10 minutes, forget it. It wouldn't have lasted around the block before it went flying off again.
Well, I hope all the other people's cars I did in 10 minutes, I hope theirs lasted because a lot of them was super, super easy. This one was super pain in the ass hard.
Yeah, so. I had that Jeep, the Compass.
Yeah.
It was the same way. I had to pull the wheel, had to pull the lower valence off the wheel well.
Right.
That whole plastic affair had to come off. And, of course, you're fiddling with those stupid press nuts that you got to pry them out and hope to God you don't break them before you can get the whole shebang down. And if you break a couple, you got to go to Jeep and go get them.
Oh, yeah,
they sell you a bag for $40.
Right.
But, that was the same thing. I totally understand. You think it would be a simple job. I didn't have to go separate any motor mounts, though.
No, I knew it wouldn't be. When I, you know, as I looked at it, I could see everything is very compact down in there. And even though it's a four-cylinder, it was tough. So,
and you started it up and everything was fine.
Oh, yeah. Everything was, you know, just like, you know, I made sure that before I put it, I obviously put the motor mount back, but before I put the wheel on and the wheel liner, I made sure I started it then to make sure everything was okay. And it was, but what a pain.
But now the big question, the big question now, how's the air conditioning?
Yeah, it works fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Works fine.
So I wonder why it stalled out last week.
Yeah, maybe the belt skipped or slipped and just didn't turn the compressor. Yeah, it could have been. I mean, the belt was in pretty grungy shape, but, you know, I don't know.
I'm surprised. Did it? You know, it's kind of funny with something like that, because I know if I would have told you that story, you would have been jumping all over me going, why didn't you check your belt? Sergeant, your belt, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I know you're going to put your thumb on it and take a look at it while you're under there. It's like, it's like, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You're under there. You casually look at it. You put your thumb on it and go, okay. This is
the-. And I'll tell you this. When I actually took a serpentine belt training course online from Gates, I have a certification for it. I did actually do that.
Wow.
And what they show is, you know, most people, they show wrongly. They'll show the ribbed part of the belt and they'll show
your pleasure.
It's got cracks going across it, perpendicular. That's okay.
Yes.
That's not a problem.
What?
That is not, according to Gates, that is not a belt failure. When the cracks go longitudinally with the ribs so that it can peel off, that's a problem.
Really?
So every time I looked at the belt, it looked fine. It literally just came apart. So, you know, I mean, that's a case, like I told my wife last night, went out for a drive. I said, yeah, I got to order all the radiator hoses and a CERT belt for the FJ. I'm just going to do them as part of just maintenance.
Listen to you. You're changing everything.
Well, no. I usually do. That's what I usually do.
Oh.
That is what I usually do.
I love it. I was just going to jump in your lap now.
Again, as I've been looking at that truck, like, yeah, everything looks fine. I've been in there. I looked. I've inspected. I've squeezed the hoses. Everything looks good. But I said, you know what? Now, just as maintenance, I'm gonna just change them all. Yeah, and I wanted to do the cooling system anyway. Even though the fluid is nice and green, I still wanted to flush it.
You know, did you ever flush it on the FJ?
Nope, I have not.
No. Ah, okay, yeah,
it's clean. So it's green. I'll change the thermostat, you know, and just do a flush, and that'll be that. And then do the belts, like I said, belt and hoses.
Sounds good.
So 516-572-7440. You can tell us about your maladies with belts and all that cool stuff. Then of course we get to the Mustang.
Tell me.
And I thought
I've already heard one version.
You have heard this on Thursday night playing in traffic, right? I was talking I was venting to Brian about
it. You were. Oh man.
I don't rock it. I don't have the same fire in me right now because some days have gone by.
Think so. I'm breaking out in a sweat.
I was just happy this was going to be a clean job. My job was to change the sun visors from black to a, you know, like a off whitish color and install seatbelts. So I knew from past looking at the car that there were rear seat belts in place, no fronts, and there were the nut certs for the seat belts where the bolts go on the transmission tunnel side. So it was on the driver's side right and on the passenger side left on the tunnel. But there were no outer bolt locations.
You do.
And the reason is underneath the car it's got like these boxed floors. So it's obviously a blind or a hidden hole. You know, like there's got to be a hole in the sill. The sill where the, where you put the sill plate. That's where the hole's going to be. But, of course, you have to remove the carpet to find that.
Right.
So I had to remove the seats, which was a whole other thing. I was asking Brian who the hell designed that Mustang seat mounting. If you have a Mustang and you've worked on one, yeah, probably other Fords too. You know what I'm talking about. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's low. You got to throw the seat all the way back, and it's kind of low and out of the way.
Well, no, what it is the seat track bolts, they're actually studs, are tack welded to the rails, and they go through the floor, but under the car, especially since this is a convertible, there's these floor big plates, and you got to go through a hole up to get the nut.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And of course,
holy smokes.
How many are stripped? How many put the wrong nut on?
Right, because it's been subjected to the weather for the last 55 years.
Not only that, this car had gone through some restoration shops, like we had said. And
questionable.
That was a pain, so that was going to be dealt with. And the tracks didn't move, so of course I got it all apart, made them move, made the guy happy. But pull the carpet back, and now you're looking at the sills. And I'm saying, okay, I know where the hole should be. But what I'm looking right. at is welded in patch plates, because they did patch floor repair and they did the sill, which was probably just rusted, gone, right? Mm-hmm. The problem is the guy, whoever the guy was that they gave the job to do the metal work, it could have been a girl too, did the welding work, but never thought ahead to, oh yeah, there's going to be a seatbelt that has to be bolted in here, so there should be some provision for it. So
I don't think it was a girl, because a girl would have thought about that beforehand.
Maybe
that's,
so.
That's just in case my wife is listening. But
so,
yeah.
So they didn't provide that. So now Mike was looking with me, and this is a good time to have the owner of the shop around, because you know you want him agreeing with you.
Yeah. Right. You want him to see you when you're holding your head in your hands. He wants to see that.
Basically, what I like to do is I like to come to a consensus and then agree with him is what I like to do, because then I know I'm okay. So we said, hey, you know what? Bottom line, we're not going to deconstruct the metalwork in this car.
Right.
And we can't just drill a hole and put a bolt in this piece, because it's just a piece of plate sheet steel. It's maybe, you know, not even 20 gauge maybe.
Pull right out.
That's right. And you can't get behind it, which is what I'd want to do, to put a nut, a plate, a washer or something, because it's all boxed in. You're in an air gap. So what we decided to do is drill a hole. This was Mike's idea, on an angle. So it would go through that sill and then out through the box portion of the floor, which also had an angle. We're going to try and match that angle. And then we'd use longer bolts and nuts and washers. And that's what we did. We got it all in. We got it to work.
Okay. So your washers are up against the box and not up against the sheet steel.
Right. Right.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Because they do sell a plate. I actually purchased one. They sell a plate that has a threaded hole. It's a thick plate and it's got a threaded hole in the center.
Yeah.
And that's the plate you weld on to the sheet steel.
Right.
For that will accept the seat belt bracket bolt.
Right.
Because I went to purchase one because we wanted to put a 3-point seat belt in the back of the Chrysler.
Uh-huh. Where did you get that, by the way? Where did you find that?
I literally ordered it online. I'm just trying to remember where it is. Yeah, I think I ordered it from Amazon, if I'm not mistaken.
See, I was going to make one. I was going to, and I had a big washer, and I was going to take a nut. It's a 7/16-20 thread, and I was going to weld that nut to the washer, and then I could have welded that to the something. But again, we would have had to deconstruct the car, and we weren't there to reinvent the wheel. We were there to just put freaking seatbelts in this thing.
Yeah, so again, you're not going to get the metal cutter out.
But the takeaway from this is, when you deal with what somebody else, what the last guy left you, now you're the next guy. And now you're sitting there saying, okay, how do I do what he should have done 2 steps ago? You know, because I would have loved to have seen it. Like, after he did his metalwork, he was all proud. And then when the interior guy came in and did carpet, went to put the belts in and said, hey, there's nowhere to put the seatbelt. I would have loved to have seen that, heard that conversation, you know.
And, or not. Because they'd be staring at each other.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, there's no holes for the seatbelt. Dead silence.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. At some point, obviously, they decided to just not put the inboard belt in, leave them all out, and let's just sell the car like that. So, again, you know, when you're buying a car, this was the car I was talking about with the eBay purchase, how, you know, it's sight unseen. You know, if you see something like that, and, well, first of all, you have to see it. The owner didn't see his car. Ask questions. Hey, where are the seatbelts? You know, if you pick that up, you have to have that kind of an eye, you know.
Yeah, no, it's true. And you see the seatbelts in the back and not in the front. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Because usually when you order seatbelts in a vehicle, you don't get like half price off for just getting seatbelts in the back. You order seatbelts for all the occupants.
Well, I don't know how Ford did it. My car is a 65, and they did order seatbelts, but my car has front seatbelts, did not have rear seatbelts in 65. So I had to install them myself. So I don't know. That's how GM did it. I don't know how Ford did it. So
yeah, my 69 has got seat belts in the front for three people,
right,
or less.
Yeah.
And it has the same in the back for three people.
Yeah.
There's six seat belts, basically.
Yeah.
Six male and females,
right,
seat belts to click together. I was trying to come up with combinations to put the child seat in there. That was just a failure. Yeah. Just go buy another car, which what I ended up doing.
So. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take care of some business. It's the bottom of the hour. We will come back. We're going to be talking about time and temp in a second. But first, I want to tell you about a show on this station Sundays at 5. That's tonight. It's called 90s Now. So if you're of that age, like my kids would be.
I'm about 90. I'm feeling about 90 right about now. Yeah.
And it's true because you love boy bands, fanny packs, and AOL chat rooms. This is a show for you, Chris. It's got your number.
I'm there.
I know. Listen as we take you back to the music from the 90s for a whole hour every Sunday, and you won't need a Sony Discman to hear the them this time like you did
Ooh,
last time.
I love the 90s, the colloquialism.
Pop culture reference.
Yes. Wow, that's heavy.
So also, Ooh.
Yes.
With pop culture reference, do we have an honor group of the hour?
I'm afraid we do on this fine, upstanding, cool and breezy Sunday. Here at the Motormouth Radio show, we have the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour. And this week, if you've ever drove over to your favorite auto parts store, and instead of a bustling business, you've been greeted with a cold, empty building. Your first thought is always, why didn't anybody tell me about this? Like, you're on a need-to-know basis with all auto parts stores. Then you think, that's probably why the shelves looked a little sparse last time I was here. And now you come to the realization that the big closeout signs in the windows were not there to effectively rotate the stock like they told you. So you start formulating a plan as to which existing auto parts store will be your new favorite. And of course, that's when you see the sign that says, coming soon, a new CVS. Like you really need another CVS. So if the sudden closing of your favorite auto parts store has placed your routine in utter chaos, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Nice. Very good.
Big ol'.
And I need to tell you that your WHPC weather forecast is powered by Pantano's Gourmet in Hewlett, Uniondale, and Garden City Park. And today, right now, it is 76 degrees, and it feels like 76 degrees. That's what the app says. It's a bit cloudy. Highs of 78, lows of 64. Going to be a little cloudy tonight. Wind up, no big problem. Tomorrow's going to be a beautiful day as well. Low humidity now. We got this. We're back in that low humidity trend. So it was actually enjoyable to be outside. So the current temp is 76 right now here at the big. Somebody did a weather thing that was kind of cool. I can't remember the big. I don't remember what he said.
It's nice and mild. So wear something flimsy.
Yeah, there you go. Right now at Nassau Community College, that's where it is, 90.3 WHPC. We'll be back in a second after we take care of a little bit of business. So, you know what, Chris? I've always felt this is always good times in our life, right? This is a good time. Good time. Whenever we do the radio show, it's a good time.
So, sure.
And Esther Roll, I mean, we all love Esther Roll, right? Good times. Yeah. You know. Well, maybe not.
Was that again?
Maybe you don't like that too much. I don't know. Let's have a little good time on this.
When did you become Florida Evans?
I don't know. I try. So anyway, I'll be back in a minute. 90.3 WHPC. Hit it.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and AutoVision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motormouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
Show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y sí, hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motormouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys
one.
Call yourself hot rods. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motormouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motormouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motormouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
I'll train staff
of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Well, quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you I can.
You're indifferent because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Motor mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No, you
see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest
it's
show
we've
Sunday ever
done. It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motor mouth radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor mouth radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor mouth!
Get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the motor mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Yeah, you learn about good times. We're making good times. We're having good times. Motor Mouth Radio, 516-572-7440. Give us a call. Let's talk about stuff. I'll tell you, Chris, one other thing that happened to me.
Talk to me.
With that beauty for the Mustang. As I was done and getting ready to go, I said, hey, you know what? This is good. I can, I'm done. I'm going to go home a little early, get in the pool and cool off and relax a little. And just as I was leaving, Ronnie, the guy, the shop manager, said to me, hey, Ray, did you look at the other thing with the car? I'm like, what other thing? He goes, oh, the guy complained that the directional, one directional was working fine. The other one was really slow. Slow and dim. And then the other one would blink very dim with it. I'm like, huh? So, of course, I checked the directionals. The right one blinks fine, front and rear. The left one, the rear was fine, but the front left was like at half volume, if you will.
Right.
And as that was at half volume, the left one had a very dim, it was backfeeding. I said, okay.
Oh, boy.
I said, okay, Ronnie. I said, no, I didn't. I said, but I have an idea. I said, my first thought is... Joe's favorite. What part of a bad ground don't you understand?
I was thinking the same thing, yeah.
And the second one was the harness in the column, the directional harness, because things backfeed through there. And I said, you know what? I remember, because I asked Brian about this, being a Ford guy that he is, Mustang guy. This car has a four-way flasher arrangement set up under the dash. And
under the dash. It's an aftermarket?
You know, I don't know. According to Brian, they did them factory this way. I don't know if it was factory or dealer installed, but he says they were usually put in the glove box. And this is definitely under the dash by the glove box. So I said, now that has all the wirings for the lights going through it too. So any problem with that could also be an issue.
Sure.
So I went in and I went to activate it, and the toggle switch just flopped back and forth. There was nothing going on. I'm like, okay.
Great.
I'm going to think this is not doing anything. So I went, and it was funny because now my premonition came true. The first thing I did with that car when I had it on the lift, and we were trying to see why it had no brakes, and when I was pulling the front left wheel off, I had the light under the wheel well, and I turned to my left to look up to the front of the fender where the parking light is,
right.
And I saw this conglomeration of wires. A lot of red wires. Why is that the only color wire that body shops have in it is red?
Oh,
and a bunch of electrical tape. And I remembered working on Mike's Mustang with all the wiring problems with the lights. And I said to myself, self, I hope you don't have to come back to this issue sometime in the future.
Uh-huh.
So now the first thing I did was I raised the car in the lift a little, and I removed that wheel, and I went right there. And I just took a black, because I had to use the right color, I have a double alligator jumper lead. I put it on the ground portion. There's a nice little lug on the light, and I grounded it to a good part of the fender, checked the directionals, done. I said, look, it's fixed. And he says, wow, that was fast. I'm like, yeah. I said, now, if I was of the right mind, like the rest of the guys, the last guys who did the wiring, I would just tape this wire to those wires and send the guy home and say, you're done.
Exactly.
Right.
Right, with the alligator clips literally attached to the car. Sure.
Well, no. I spent another hour, and I, you know that guys, first of all, and again, body guys, Sorry, guys. You're great body men. You do wonders, things with plastic and metal that I can't do. But when you can grab two ends of a wire that have a tape splice and pull it apart with the tape in place, and if it comes apart, the guy's not really an electrician. No.
That's a bad, right, exactly. It's a bad splice.
So I took all of those apart and re-spliced, soldered in wires and used shrink tubing and did it to my satisfaction and sent it out. But it's always that late. Like you're almost out the door. It's like, oh, wait, one more thing. Ah, no. Yeah.
That's called a doorknob diagnosis. You got your hand on the doorknob.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're ready to walk out the door, and they say, oh, by the way.
Right.
Yes. Very true. I love that. That's awesome. And you know, it's funny. I had a little bit of frustration this week as well. I have mixed success with cleaning headlight lenses.
Okay.
The headlight, clear headlight lenses. I always have mixed success. When I got the Charger many years ago, it came from Texas.
Right.
It was the southern part of the state. And the headlight lenses were almost white. Like someone put sort of white masking tape over the headlight lenses. And I'm like scraping away at it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing is, it's so cloudy. It's awful. Right. So I tried using, you know, of course you use your headlight lens cleaner, the blue stuff, which is like ultralight compound. And I'm using that on it, and that's doing nothing. That's actually, the blue stuff is actually filling into the cracks.
Is that the blue?
And then of course, I get into the heavier stuff, and then I start getting into, and this is what I did. I got into the white paint compound.
Oh, wow.
And I started using that. Then I got into the red paint compound. I started using that. Then I finally was starting to sand it. I used wet sand. Literally wet sanded the entire lens, and I was able to get them clear, fairly clear. They were always a little smoky to me, but they worked. So here I am staring at the tracker, and the tracker's got the same type of lens issue, but not as bad as the Charger was. So I went right for the blue stuff, of course. I started with that, and I'm like, this is useless. Then I went for the white compound, went through the same thing again. I went the white compound, then I went to the red compound. Nothing was working. It had like these stains on the lens. Finally, a bucket of water and 1500 grit sandpaper. Yeah. I went to town on them.
I'm surprised you didn't just start there.
And you know what? I always am afraid. I'm always afraid of getting them smoky. I want them clear. I'm always afraid of getting them smoky.
Did you follow with finer grits after the 1500?
No, I actually started with the 1500. I went from that to the red.
You know, Mike Jr. had done my headlight lenses on the Mazda, and I think he ended up at 3000. And man, these things came out like crystal. And then he followed with, you know, with the polishes, the micro polishes.
Yeah.
These things came out like crystal, beautiful.
Did he take the lenses out of the car?
No, did them in the car.
He did them on the car.
Yep,
he did them on the car. Yep. Wow. See, that's funny because the tracker has got the headlight lens. It's kind of recessed within around the body.
Uh huh.
So I'm afraid of getting in there with the buffing wheel because it doesn't just stick out. It's not sitting flush.
You put painter's tape around the opening, around the body. You know, I mean, that's,
you see me buff out cars. Painter's tape is no match for me.
No, that's what I'm saying. But that's why to hear you say that, it kind of shocks me. So that's why I'm saying, well, do that and then you'll be okay. I mean, it's, you know,
I'll lean on the painter's tape. I'll go flying right off.
Okay.
Right. So that's why I'm like, either I'm going to get a very, very small wheel to try it, or I'll just keep using Armstrong technology.
Now the tool guys all sell them, and other companies too. These small mini buff, it looks like a little drill, and it's a buffer, and they get into small places. You know, Mike has a couple of them, and most of the body guys I've seen will use those.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm looking for. One of those things that'd be nice because you get tired of sanding, you get tired of buffing it out. I mean, they look good. Don't get me wrong. They look good. They look better than they did.
Well, this light looks good. So let's go to the phones, go to the fun, and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's Steve calling from West Hempstead. How are you guys?
Hey, Steve. How you doing? It's been a long time.
What's up, Steve? Yeah.
I was listening to your conversation about the headlights.
Yeah.
And I was going to suggest that you go to a much finer grit.
Okay.
And they have a clear coat that you can use once you get it all washed and cleaned up that will greatly preserve that. Man, don't you guys miss the old days of the old square, rectangular Sylvania headlights. You just unscrew them.
Yeah.
Pop the new one back in. Oh, these plastic ones are a pain in the neck. I tell you, man, they're always oxidizing after a period of time. So
that's true. And you remember when you used to go into the junkyard and you saw the car was all dilapidated and a mess, but the headlights were still looking good?
Right.
I remember those days too. Those square headlights, those round headlights from the past. Yeah.
And I tell you, 32 coupes have nice big glass lights in them. Not this plastic stuff.
Yeah. I know, I'm still dreaming
about
that 32 Ford Coupe. Right. I swear, man.
Yep.
And I wanted to commend you on your selection of music. The lead off with the group called Wild Cherry, play that funky music, White Boy.
That's right.
And then toward the bottom of the hour break, you played Good Times by Chic.
That's right.
Musical selection is absolutely fantastic, and I really enjoy the show. And I'm not going to take up much time. You guys keep doing what you're doing, so, all right?
Thank you, Steve. This is the Disco Box Collection from Rhino Records. Rhino's always great. And I think you made the promo on that one, by the way, so keep tuned. Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, you want to know what else is on here? There's a lot of songs in here. You Sexy Thing by Hot Chocolate, right? Turn the Beat Around, Vicky Sue Robinson.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Bringing back memories. One of my favorite, all-time favorites is The Hustle by Van McCoy. That's on here, you know.
Absolutely.
And my other favorite, Chris, the song Chris makes me try. It makes me talk up. I should have known better because I'm not a talk up guy. Car Wash by Rolls Royce.
Oh, you can get all kinds of stuff done in talking up car wash.
I tell you, at my desk yesterday, I was scrubbing through the CD and I'm listening to Rolls Royce. I'm like, okay, let me listen to it again and see. It's a 3-minute song. The talk up is a minute long.
Yeah.
It's a minute of music before they say anything. So, yeah.
I remember seeing a movie on that. It was, you know, that was, oh, God, that was way back in, I think, the early 70s,
'76.
And
yes.
We actually had Antonio Fargas here in this studio with us. He was Huggy Bear. You know, it was Huggy Bear from
Starsky and Hutch. Yeah.
But in Car Wash, he played a transvestite. He used to change the bathroom. But yeah, we had him here in the studio. I think I had him sign my autograph, my copy of Car Wash for me. So
yeah, he lived right down the street from my cousins in Katona, New York.
Oh, very cool.
Wow.
All right, one quick question, and I'll let you go.
Yeah, go.
You have a friend at Infinity Records, right?
That's correct.
And they have a great They have a great selection of CDs and vinyl and stuff like that.
You know, Infinity is my favorite record store, and I haven't been there in a little while. I've been too busy, but yes, Joe and Corey are the guys that I know, and they are phenomenal. Most of this music, in fact, this CD I just played, I'm looking, it's gotten, I bought this at Infinity, so how's that? You know?
Okay, yeah. Beautiful.
You know,
I got to go down there and check it out.
And I'll tell you something.
I'll come back with a arm full of records.
He says he sells used albums and anything from a $2.76 album to a $15 album. I have not had, and I've bought a 100 at least or more over the couple of years. I have not had one with a scratch or a click in it. Every album is stellar. Joe doesn't sell any crap, so yeah.
Oh.
Okay, great. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Steve.
Talk to you in the future, all right?
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye, Chris and Rick.
Thanks for the tip.
Bye, Ray.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, I love getting promo clips from callers. That's it makes it so easy. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And a quick plug to the record store.
Yeah. You know what? Just like our buddies over at Chase, of course, they're still going on at Celebrity Chase on Merrick Road and Oceanside. Just like good businesses like that, I love to talk about the places that are worth talking about because there's so many that aren't.
True.
Oh, right. Brian just told me, too. You can check. If you go to Macho Man Brian's YouTube channel, his daughter Molly did the only video he has up there. No, I think there's maybe two. Is of her polishing the headlights on one of the Volkswagens in the family.
Oh, wow.
So you could watch Brian's daughter do it and get a tip from her if you'd like.
I will do that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, because after a while, your fingers start hurting. Son of a gun. I mean, and I used to buff cars out for a living. And here I am getting old again.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm like, this stinks. Yeah. Boy. And I love those. You get those YouTube videos where they are polishing out headlight lenses with toothpaste. And I'm like,
that's a common. Yeah, I know.
I'm like, you gotta be kidding.
Well, if you think
really?
Of it, you know, I follow them. It's toothpaste, not gel. Does have an abrasive quality. It does have some grit to it. So I've never tried it. I never poo pooed it that it wouldn't work. If you asked me would that work, I'd say You know, it probably will. I would like to, you'd have to try it and see.
But you'd have to, I would say you're going to have to rub that lens until your hand falls off.
Well, no, I get
for anything.
See, that's the thing. And that's where I had trouble, where I got into trouble with doing headlight lenses years ago, knowing where to start on the grit scale. Mm-hmm. And basically, like you said, it's always better to start at a lighter grit, at a lighter grit and work your way. Because if you start too abrasive, now you got to go through the whole process anyway.
Right.
So, you know.
Right. And that was what I did with the Charger lenses, because they were truly in such bad shape that now it turns into a laboratory, like we always talk about on the
right.
show. If it's in such bad shape, now it still has value because now you can mess with it and you can learn from it.
Right.
These headlight lenses on the Charger were that way. They were in such bad condition, you could barely see the headlight.
Right.
So I thought, it's experiment time. Let's see what we could use, you know? And that's what I did. And I actually didn't start on those headlight, on the Charger headlight lenses. I didn't start with 1500. I ended with 1500. I started with like 400 and worked my way from there.
I started with 60 grit.
I literally, yeah, it was so drastic.
Well, you know,
and then
what?
I just worked my way up from there and I ended it. But now, like Steve says, a 3000 grit sandpaper, that's almost got the same texture as like loose leaf paper.
Yeah, paper.
But I'll try that.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe from Infinity just checked in, thanking us for the tip, and he said he could go on for a half hour about rubbing headlight lenses. I mean, he's done it too. Everybody has gone in there, and they, you know, most people have had their but the person, two people I saw do it and made it look the easiest, and I got the best job. The first was when I had my daughter Stratus, and I went and saw our good friend Ray Miranda, and
right.
he did it in Atlanta Collision, Billy Lynch's old shop. And the same thing, he had some Italian compound that they had bought, and he made it look, he wet sanded it, used a compound, boom, done, easy. You know, within like 15 minutes, the car was sparkling. And then Mike Jr.
The Italian compound is called compound.
Compound, right. And Mike Jr. had done it with on my car, and again, made it look easy. So the guys who do it and know how to do it, and neither one of them do it for a living, but they just, they know and they understand. That's who you want to have do it.
And the funny thing is, there's like a twofold benefit. First of all, your headlights are now crystal clear, but
right.
it makes the car look newer. You ever notice that?
Sure.
It's like almost psychological. When you see a car that's fairly new, but the headlight lenses are cloudy, you kind of think it's an old car.
Yes.
Because that's usually, when you're looking at the front of the car, that's usually where you're looking. I don't know if it's psychological, but usually you take a look at the headlights.
Right.
I don't know. I do it. And sometimes you judge a car by the condition of the front or the condition of the headlights. So that's what I'm looking at, this tracker, which looks like someone pulled it out of the bottom of a lake. And I'm like, how can I make this thing look a little bit better?
Yeah.
Just start out making the healing process.
Right.
Because it really needs a lot of surface body work. I mean, the paint is flying off it. But I mean, I also want to see at night because up here, there's no street lights.
Well, speaking of lenses like that, Joe did just say his son's 08 Jeep, it was so bad, he went for aftermarket lenses. And they would like constantly go bad. We just kept. Now, some of the aftermarket lenses are not that bad in price. Some are very pricey. So, again, it pays mm-hmm. to. Hopefully, you got a car that's, affordable.
Right.
And sometimes it's not. Oh, can we take this? Look, maybe we'll try and squeeze this one in.
Go ahead.
Let's say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths, caller.
Hello, Chris and Ray. John, how are you?
John, you're going to make it under the wire. You got to make it quick. What's up?
Chris, only thing I'm going to tell you is get some clear coat and clear coat the lenses because it'll still do it again.
No, I believe it. No, you're absolutely right, John. Yeah, I agree, because I would go and do it again if it did. But, yeah, if I'll clear coat it, not a problem, sure.
Right. Yeah, they're not that thick. You can't keep doing it that many times. But, yeah, I've done a bunch of them, and, same method you did. Wet sand it and take it down, and then I buffed them out, and they looked brand new. But I put a clear coat on it afterwards.
What kind of car, John?
A bunch of different ones. Mercury Marquis, Honda. You know, they all polish out the same. But, you know, the one thing that I started doing because I saw one that I did for a friend of mine a year later, and it looked almost as bad as when I did it for him. So I did some research on it and bought a can of clear coat, you know, the Duplicolor clear coat.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, John. What type of clear coat? Because there's all sorts of ceramic coatings. There's 100 things on the market. So,
well, ceramic coatings, I mean, if your headlights aren't bad, ceramic coat them now. Because it's UV protection. That's what's killing it. It's plastic.
Right.
Yeah, it's true. It's the intensity of the headlight and the intensity of the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you look at the cars that have, you know, the headlights are sort of angled up, although they aim down.
Mercedes.
Yeah, they take more of a beating than, you know, like my truck, they're pretty flat.
That's right.
So the sun's baking them all day.
You are correct, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Please have a great rest of your day. Hopefully you're going to a car show this afternoon because, wow, perfect day for it.
It is. Thanks, John. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, John. Thanks for the tip.
So long. All right, John. Yeah, he wanted to get in last week. We couldn't take the call. It was too late, and I talked to – we went back and forth afterwards about WD-40, basically, and its uses. So
yes, the benefits of WD-40. That's not a dessert topping or a floor wax.
Right, right.
Could be a floor wax.
Yeah, it could be. Yes, it could be. Yes, it could be. But it's great for cleaning those tools. Like I said, it's phenomenal for doing that. So
I had to laugh because the top of the power steering – reservoir on the tracker has writing on it. It's the raised letters. It's raised font writing. And of course, dirt gets in there.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All the dirt in there. So I just took the can of diagnostic fluid, the carburetor cleaner, and went right at the top of the reservoir cap. Psh,
yep.
It bright orange. I was like, I was so pleased.
Beautiful. Yeah. It took all the silkscreen lettering, right? All the, like the black that covered the lettering right off.
Right off.
Ah, yeah, very good, very good. Nice.
Exactly. So it was good stuff. Good fun was had by all.
Well, I tell you, Chris, what do we say? Because it's time to get out of here to let Kim come in and do Thunder Road. Best of Springsteen in the band. Listen, I know you do. And what do we always say? That John used to say that you said that now Justin's saying and Brian's saying to him.
Don't follow us home. And make sure if you do, make sure you have clear headlights.
You got it. All right, Ray Guarino for Chris Switzer, Motormouth Radio out. We'll see you next week, Chris.
See ya.
All right, guys. See you next week. 90.3 WHPC.